Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. Hello and welcome to episode 42 of The Ordinary Knitter. This week, recording issues, my cowls, and this proposed cushion. It may seem as if I've had another one of my impressive 3-week gaps between recordings, but in fact I've recorded 2 pods that I've had to bin. The first time I was having all kinds of problems with my computer. I ended up needing a new hard drive and it had completely chewed up and spat out my first recording. With one thing and another, it was another, at least a week before I had another opportunity to record. And when I'd listened back to the first one that I binned, apart from all the chewings which made it completely unusable, I was really struck by how often I say and. It's been bugging me for a while, but this time it just seemed beyond the pale. And I wondered if the solution to that was to script my broadcasts. I've resisted that so far because I much prefer it to be natural. My grand plan, if I can call it that, is that I'm the person you sit next to at your knitting group or something like that, who's just nattering about what they've been doing with their knitting and the whys and the wherefores. I'm not setting out to speak from on high or deliver a lecture or, you know, heaven forbid, actually try and explain how to do anything. And I've been concerned that a scripted podcast would come over as quite stilted, and I was right, because when I finally had the opportunity to record again, I did script it. And even though I tried to avoid sitting reading it, I don't know why it brings to mind scenes from The King's Speech, but I just, when I listened back, it just sounded so fake. So I'm trying to hit a happy medium. I always work from notes. I'm going to make a really huge effort not to and quite so much, and I hope that doesn't result in great big long silences or me completely losing my train of thought. So please bear with me. All this is to explain why it's been a while, and it's probably going to be a bit of a jump into the project that I've been doing. I've also wondered perhaps about making this a monthly podcast, because then, given that I'm not planning any huge projects, really long and time-consuming projects in the next little while, I might just have more project work to talk about. So we'll see. We'll just have to see how it goes. And I think probably we should start some kind of fine system. And if I say more than 10 times in one podcast, then I have to make a donation to a charity of the listener's choice. In my intro, I said cowls. Cowls have been, they've been quite front and centre for a few weeks. If you have been listening for a while, you'll know that I wanted to make a cowl that had on it the Scottish Rugby Thistle logo, or a version of, because I was at Murrayfield on Saturday to see Scotland beat Italy 29-0, and it was absolutely fantastic, and it was everything I've been hoping for ever since I was given the tickets for Christmas. But I won't bore you with the details, but it was, as I had expected, not particularly lovely weather. It wasn't that cold, but oh god, it was wet. We walked from Waverley to Murrayfield, which is quite a long walk, and by the time we got there, oh my word, were we soggy. I won't release any photographs because my fringe had decided it was going to do the most hilarious kicking out curl arrangement with the wind and the rain, and nobody wants to see that. So there are no photographs, I'm afraid, of me wearing the cowl in the ground, but that's not the only reason why. I'm trying to remember what I said in the podcast that I ditched and what I said before, but essentially I made a first version of this cowl in a cream base colour. This is just some of the 16 miles of, possibly literally actually, Arran cream yarn that I bought from Aldi last year, I think. Oh, no, it must have been the year before, actually. Gosh. And I've still got embarrassing quantities of it, although I seem to have used it a lot over this last year. That was my base colour. And I was putting the thistle on in navy blue. That was, as I recall, a Stylecraft Special Aran and a shade called Midnight. These are all acrylics. I can't wear wool. I have dodgy skin. I'm very allergic to lanolin. I can't wear wool. And I don't think that a bamboo or a cotton would have been the right thing for this. So I do use more acrylic than is sort of strictly socially acceptable, really, for a knitter. But I have good reasons. Also, many of the things I knit, they get quite a lot of abuse, and I can't really be using lovely fine yarns for that. So I had based the stitch count for the basic cowl on one I had found online. I literally just wanted to know, for an aran weight, how many to cast on. I started off, I do apologise. Oh, well, Cats Protection Fund, that's your gain. I started off with a 4.5 inch needle. Wow. 4.5 millimeter needle. But the finished work was coming out too big a knit stitch, too big a weave, if you like. I'm just not so keen on that. I like my stocking stitch to be quite snug. So I switched down to 4 millimeter, which meant then that I could use my, Knit Pro Nova Cubics that I got for Christmas. These are the ones with the square profile. I absolutely love them. Now, if I'm using 4 millimeter for anything, they're the ones I use just without a second thought. They're fantastic. And the finished fabric, I did actually ultimately finish the article, but that came out much more the gauge of stocking stitch that I wanted. So that was fine. The cowl type designs that I was getting the stitch count from had ribbed cuff. I'm not a huge fan of ribbed cuff. Anyone who listened all through the Ivy saga will know that that's why I ended up doing Ivy instead of the Thomas B. Ramsden pattern that I had originally intended to do, because I didn't just want miles and miles of stocking rib. I wanted something a little bit more decorative, which Ivy has. So I decided, now, I've done stocking stitch projects before which have had a rolled cuff, and I really like that as a finish. I've just posted on Instagram today a bit of throwback Monday, some pictures of two different colourways of the Little Houndale's wrist warmers that I was making this time last year, and they just have a rolled stocking stitch edge, and it's perfect. I was following a pattern, this was not of my making. It's absolutely perfect. It's just the right size, and as in the little curl over, it's just it's absolutely beautiful. It's a thing of beauty to behold. And I thought, oh well, fine, I'll do the same thing on the cowl. I'll get a nice little rolled cuff top and bottom, just right. Well, no. I've described myself before as an inexperienced intermediate knitter, so I can, although I do get confused and I do need a bit of help here and there, but I can follow more than a basic pattern, and I've made one or two more intricate things, but I don't have that years and years and years of experience that immediately says, oh no, hang on a minute, that's not going to work. Because, and what was happening, I could see, I was only a few rows in, and I could already see that the rolling was far greater than I wanted, or that, that in my naivety I had imagined was possible. And part of the issue with that as well is when you're doing colour work and you've got floats, you start to see the floats when it curls round. And I should have remembered that from when I made the ladybird hat for my mother-in-law last year, because I had a bit of a problem with that then as well. And my heart was sinking a bit, but I thought, well, it might be all right. I might be able to do something to try to relax it. So I looked up online a bit about that, but there wasn't anything really. And most of them were also thinking of things that curled side to side rather than top to bottom. So I decided that that wasn't really a goer. But I carried on. What I did was I added an extra 5 rows of stocking stitch top and bottom in the theory is a marvellous thing, that would give the cowl lots of lovely room to curl round. It wouldn't show the floats, and it wouldn't obscure the design, which was also starting to happen. Well, simply, I was wrong. But anyway, I finished this thing. And when I tried it on, the first thing that was apparent is that it was too big. Even having gone down a needle size, I can't imagine the size it would have been if I'd stuck with the original needles. You probably could have gone round twice. But it was just that awkward too big. You know, you couldn't really, you couldn't have gone round twice. You strangled yourself. But it was a little bit, it just sat a bit longer. You'd actually would have ended up with a bit of a gap around your neck when you would have been a bit chilly, so it would have defeated the object. So I wasn't really very pleased with it. But that wasn't the worst thing. It wasn't the curling round looked wrong. It wasn't exposing the floats. It wasn't that it was too big. It was that a cream cowl with a rolled top and bottom looks like a surgical collar. I hadn't seen that coming. Fortunately, I found it quite funny. It hadn't taken all that long. I'd enjoyed doing it. I like colour work and I'd learnt a lot. So immediately I went back to my knitting seat and I cast on in the navy, because I also, the colour work, the way the navy pattern on the cream background, it didn't stand out as I'd hoped it would. I don't know if there's something to do with how the eye works or something, but it just didn't stand out as I'd hoped. So I cast on in the navy and I thought we'll have the white pattern on the navy, and the Scottish Rugby home strip is a navy shirt with the white thistle. So fine. So I cast on and I also did 8 rows of rib, because that I thought that would solve the problem. Again, that's my naivety coming through. So I started and I got so far, and as memory serves me, because we're going back a couple of weeks now, I began to get nervous. I realised that it was going to be a quick project, and that if push came to shove, I could probably finish it in, well, a couple of evenings. But that this last Saturday just gone, when we had the tickets to the rugby, it was my mother's 75th birthday. So the person who bought me the tickets for Christmas wouldn't have been thinking about that. It wouldn't have crossed their mind. And, you know, my mum accepted that. She knew that. But I did feel that that being the case, and her, you know, acknowledging, yes, of course, we can go up to Scotland for that and I'll just amuse myself during the day, which actually she did with relatives, not her relatives, strictly speaking, my dad's. But, you know, nonetheless, she wasn't left to her own devices. But I did feel that I really did have to come through with something, and I couldn't say, oh, it's on the needle, sorry, didn't have time to finish it. But I did, of course, finish the thing that I want to wear on Saturday. I just didn't feel I could pull that off. So I got to work on this, and I'd spoken before that I was going to do a cushion cover. Well, I won't bore you with every stage of my thinking, but essentially a big cushion cover became a small cushion cover, became a piece, a knitted piece. I thought, oh, she can do with it what she likes. And the plan was to do a sort of Brighton Pavilion type skyline, because that means something to her. Well, again, theory is a marvellous thing. I think Helen Stewart of Curious Handmade has a word for the year. And that's what she tries to sort of navigate by, life and crafting. And I haven't really succeeded with that. I would say that if I have a term that describes all my projects so far this year, it would be theory is a marvellous thing. Because what I decided to do, I thought, if it's just a piece and she's going to, I mean, I say frame it, wow, highfalutin ideas there on my part, but or put it into a cushion cover or something like that. She's not going to want rib. I'm not going to do rib, am I? You know. So I struck on seed stitch. I've knitted a few of these little cloths for people, and you always have a seed stitch border, and it always behaves itself and sits flat. So this is what I did. I can't remember exactly how many rows I did, but it probably somewhere like 6 or 8. And then I started on the stocking stitch, and I was working in the chart. I used Stitch Fiddle to turn an image into a chart, and I was about halfway up and I just wasn't feeling it. It was very floppy. The body of it was very floppy, which I suppose is inevitable because it was long and thin. But the thing that was really annoying me is that the seed stitch border was flipping up. And I posted a picture, I actually posted a short video of it on Instagram, and I said, why is my seed stitch border flipping up? It's always worked before. And somebody replied, actually, I really should find out who. Somebody is not good enough. It was the username Supernitural. That's SupernitureUral. She said, she suggested twice what I'd done because it's at a 90 degree angle. She also made the fantastic suggestion of in future doing an improvised cast on and then adding the border afterwards. And I think that would be a very sound move for another occasion. So that, together with the fact, so I've got seed stitch border flipping up, which is not what I had in mind, and I've got the pattern just wasn't really working out quite as I'd hoped, and I just decided to abandon it. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm aware that sometimes knitted presents can be slightly, oh, marvellous, yes, that's, no, it's really lovely, no, thank you, that's really great, and I just didn't want that. So I pulled the whole thing out. I wound up my yarn again. I was using a shade of blue for the pattern. It was another Stylecraft Special Aran. I think it was called Aster. It was a nice sort of slightly cornflowerish. Not maybe got quite that piercing element that a cornflower blue can have. Slightly smokier than that, but it's a lovely colour, and I'm sure I will have no trouble using it for something else. So I abandoned that project completely, and she didn't get anything knitted for her birthday at all, which I'm sure came as a crushing blow. I had other things that I could give her that would, you know, it was fine. I had other things up my sleeve, things I'd intended to do for Mother's Day, but I've just brought all the Mother's Day stuff came brought forward for the birthday, and there's an idea that I'm going to do for Mother's Day, so we'll see if that comes off. I'm only sitting here talking about this that I've actually just remembered that that's what I was going to do. It's a bit busy at the moment. So I abandoned that, all dead and gone, got back to the cowl, finished that, did the 8 rows of rib at the top as well, and the rib was flipping over. And I, given the comments that Supernatural was making, I think it's simply a case I didn't do enough rib. It fits nicely. Strictly speaking, I suppose I probably could have added another 5 or 10 stitches, but it's not a huge issue. I think also with acrylic it'll probably stretch a little bit with wear anyway. I was glad of it, you know, it was so wet, and when I say it wasn't cold, I mean it wasn't really cold, you know, I didn't feel the need to take my coat off at any point. It wasn't actually until we were back on the train coming back that I finally took it off, because we also route marched from Murrayfield back to Waverley in order to get a certain train back down to Galloway Shields. And by the time we got there, I was really warm. I was stripping everything off in the train, including the cowl. So I'm glad I made it. I'm glad I wore it on the day. The rib wasn't deep enough, and I will bear that in mind for future projects. And every time I try to make something myself, I have it brought home to me time and time again just how much designers earn every single penny that they charge for their patterns, because, you know, the intricacy of some patterns just is mind-blowing, that someone's actually done all the work to come up with that, especially patterns, I think, that contain a lot of shaping. And they must have had to have, you know, well, I say trial and error. I'm sure when you're an experienced designer, it's not too much trial, because you understand fundamentally how shaping works, and you're able to, you know, have a good idea, so you're not starting from scratch. But even so, good on you designers, you definitely earn every penny. In July last year, I had a KnitPro Symphony needle snap off at the shank. Symphony is their set of interchangeables, and this was, I think, a 3.5 millimeter. I posted it on Instagram, and somebody suggested going back to KnitPro. Apparently they will always replace things if you can't get any joy from the person you bought through, and this had been an Amazon purchase quite a while before, and there was no comeback to the seller by this point. So I approached KnitPro, and the first one they sent, it came from India, it got lost in the post, but the second one arrived. I got a pair from them, and which was great, because in fact, before Christmas last year, the other one of the original pair also snapped. So I've got a replacement pair. But then, in fact, at Christmas, I asked for the 3.5 millimeter, Nova, that's right, so they that replaced those, because I decided, I just realised, I mean, the evidence was in my hand in several pieces, that the thinner needles in anything other than metal and me do not go together too well. I obviously just put them through too much. But I had the spare, second spare needle, so I didn't, there was no need to go back to KnitPro about it. And then before Christmas, I realised that one of my cables was dodgy, because the there was a gap forming between the end of the cable and the shank of the needle. And you can imagine yarn was catching in it. It was a complete nightmare. And when I looked at them really closely, I could see that the screw thread on one end of the cable was faulty. So I took a picture of it and I emailed KnitPro again. And again, the first one they sent got lost in the post, but the second one arrived and I got a bumper pack of cables together with what do you call them, keys and stoppers and all that sort of thing. I got a 30-inch, two 23-inches and a 16-inch. And they're in funky colours. They're in pink and yellow and orange and all that sort of thing. I'd really never thought twice about the colour of KnitPro cables. They're a kind of purplish colour. I really never crossed my mind, but it's fun to have something just a little bit different. So it was great to get those back, and also always fantastic. I mean, you know, to end up with four cables when I'd originally had just the one is fantastic. We went along to my daughter's parents' evening a couple of weeks ago, and to my delight, she wore her tailor jumper. So she's worn it a few times, actually. When I've knitted things for her before, I think maybe the finished article hasn't quite been what she hoped for, but I was really pleased. She's worn it, you know, quite a few times. It is a lovely fit on her, which is such a fluke, really, considering that I had to change it from stocking stitch to garter stitch. So I'm really pleased that's turned out so well. She has a friend who wants to be a fashion designer, and this friend's parents are both artists, so they're a really creative family, and her friend was really knocked out by it as well. So to get praise from her felt really fantastic. And, you know, I mean, they're 15, and, you know, to be sort of praising something like that, I can't imagine when I was 15 I would have been seen dead in anything handmade. Anyway, I realised during the evening that I was wearing Ivy, and I made some quip to my husband, oh, you know, if only you'd worn one of the jumpers that I'd made you, we would all have been in handmade, at which point he pointed out that he was wearing handmade socks. So it made me think I must have hit some kind of milestone or critical mass, that every time we go out, you know, at least somebody's wearing something handmade. And then a few days later, we were driving our car into town for its MOT, which I'm pleased to say it passed, although it's back in now because of blooming potholes around here. Something's gone ping. And as we were taking it in, we passed my mum, who was walking back up to her house, and she was wearing the Go With The Flow jacket, which was what I had just made when I started this podcast nearly a year ago. And I had gone just by the measurements, as in literally I'd measured me, I'd gone by the written measurements in the pattern rather than actually trying it on as I went. And it was simply too small for me, but it's great on her. It works on her. New to me. This week it's an Instagram account. I'm not going to cop out and do this every week. Gosh, that'd be easy, wouldn't it? But this was one that really just struck me. It's called 1000 Ideas of Knitting. If you want to find it, it's numerals 1000_ideas_of_knitting. And the thing I really like about it is that the projects are so varied. Some are really daft, some are great. One or two slightly more intimate items, you might call them, but there's a real mix. If you look at their thumbnails on Instagram, there's a man's chunky cabled cardigan. That's really nice. But there's also a flying pig, and there's a scarf, and then there's ladies' underwear, which looks like it would be a complete nightmare to wear, and it's certainly just for appearances, those. There's nothing practical about them whatsoever. But there are some odds and ends, like some little knitted toys, for instance, the sort of, you know, amusing little things that you could give someone as a present. But it's the breadth of ideas that really appealed to me, things I'd never have come up with on my own. When I look at the projects that people post, the people I follow on Instagram, there are some really big, impressive projects. So they're going to take a lot of time. They're really intricate, and they've been executed fantastically well by really skillful people. But that can be quite intimidating, you know. We're not all that good. I love to look at them and I'm in awe of the people who do them. But the thing I like about this account is you think, you know, I could probably do that, actually. They look achievable, I suppose, is the word. And there's one little thing here. It's a Christmas decoration. It's a tiny little skating boot. And you sew a paper clip on underneath for the blade. So, you know, I'm not very good at sewing. I've talked quite often about how sewing is a huge weak link for me. I'd love to be good at it, but I just don't enjoy it enough to want to try, if you see what I mean. But that I would be prepared to, you know, have a go at sewing a paper clip onto a tiny knitted toy. It's a sweet little thing. So just there's imagination, there's a little bit of fun, and there's the odd thing that you might actually want to make for yourself to wear. So that's my new to me for this week, this month. I don't know. I'd like to think I'll be able to do this again on my normal Tuesday schedule, but I'm just going to have to see how it goes. Don't forget Knitting Hour on Twitter. That's simply hashtag Knitting Hour. That's 7:30 till 8:30. On Thursday evenings. Thanks very much for listening. I hope I haven't done too many ums. You have to keep tally. Let me know whether I achieve a personal best. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye.